the offering, let me just share really quick story. Yeah, thanks. When I received the Lord was back in 1969, and it was just in the midst of the Jesus movement and all that stuff. And I taught school in a Catholic school. And that school had, I taught seventh grade, which people thought I was crazy, but actually I really loved junior high school. And we had about 150 students in three classes. It was a Catholic school before all the new regulations or whatever is out there. But one of the things we were able to do is it was through teachers there that I met the Lord. They were the instrument God used to get me to know, to come to Jesus Christ. And then because of that, we were able to distribute 150 Gideon Bibles in the Catholic school. I understand the pastor got in trouble for that, but I never did. It never came as far. He just took it. And so always appreciate the Gideons and the work that they've done. Plus, you know, I don't know about you, but I've used that Bible in the hotel rooms occasionally just to sit back and read. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Okay. PowerPoint. Are we up? All right. Just real quick, if you have the Bible app on your smartphone or tablet, okay, there is a outline of my talk today available on that. You go to your Bible app, click on the menu line item, and go to events, and you'll see Grace Fellowship. If you want to follow it in a browser, that is there also. That's not as convenient, but it's there. Okay. I appreciate the YouVersion Bible app. I think Life Church, I believe, is the one who does that. Chris? Now, is this, this is Andy Heiniger's new Bible. Back pocket.
You need to explain.
Yeah, can I steal that one too? That's a good question. But I appreciate the YouVersion, their Bible app that's available on every device you can imagine. And they have done a tremendous thing. This is just one of the things they've added to it, is a way of putting out the outline of a message and just allowing you to get the notes and have them without taking all the notes. You can take notes in the app if you want to. You can save the app. You can send, email it to yourself and so forth. So, to the psalm at hand, Psalm 22. I've subtitled it The Cry of Man. Excuse me if I'm not quite trusting the PowerPoint yet. It takes me a minute before I believe it's actually flipping through. Psalm 22 is really a little bit, let's say, I don't know if confusing is the right word, but it has some different understandings that people give to it. One of that is this David's lament? You know, David wrote it. Is it him talking about him? The reservations that people have on that is that there's no evidence historically that David that would back up the psalm in saying this was a particular period of his life and this is what he was going through. So is it, what's he writing about there? Others have taken and said, is it actually Jesus' lament? And I think probably many of us have understood it somewhat like this because it's an incredible description of crucifixion probably 1,000 years before crucifixion was developed. Okay, crucifixion wasn't the normal way for capital punishment at the time of David. It had been stoning. And we see that in the old, you know, you rebellious sons, you count your blessings because according to the Old Testament, you should have been stoned at the gate. How many of you were rebellious sons? Come on. You have a bunch of liars too. You know, I can't believe, no way. Your hand's not up. All right, that's what I wanted to see.
I was rebelling.
And I I'm not going to answer the question because I think we have to look at it from the fact of the writer. What was his intention? What was he experiencing? Was it written simply to be a prophecy for the coming of the Christ and to be convinced people that this is who he was, that this was it? I would say I don't believe so. I do believe it's a real lament of David's, and I think we'll find both in it as we read it. It's a long scripture passage. It's 31 verses, and we're going to read it. If you want to follow along, great. If not, you can close your eyes and listen to God's word, which is always a blessing, and then we'll continue from there. So this is Psalm 22, taken from the English Standard Version. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. You, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Father, we come before you this morning. We just really are asking that you would speak to our hearts as we look at this scripture briefly, Lord, that in those brief moments, our lives would be changed. You are a great God. And Father, as we worshiped you this morning and sang of your greatness, we are reminded again that you are a great God and you are worthy of all our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in this scripture, in this Psalm 22, we're going to find two main sections. The lament, which is Psalm 22 to 121. And also then we'll find the praise for redemption in Psalm 22 to 31. So we've got a division point. It's an interesting division point. But it's very real. It's very obvious in that 22, when he starts, I will tell of your name to my brothers after the laments. But the laments have a uniqueness to them. And the lament uniqueness is that it's cyclical. Okay? So there's a cry and there's a recall. A cry and a recall. A cry and a recall. Example, verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We jump down to verse 3, he says, yet you are holy. So he's crying out in a sense of abandonment, that God is gone, God is not there. But at the same time, he's recalling that God has done marvelous things in the past. Okay? David in Psalm 22, and I think we're looking at this right now. I think this is a personal cry from God, from David. David is experiencing something in his life that is causing him to feel abandoned, to feel that God isn't real, to feel that God's not for him. Okay, anybody been there? You know, I've been there. I mean, I and I'm not to hold up my position, but. There have been times from emotional issues where I remember this so clearly, just falling down on my bed one night because of some of the relational stuff that was going on around me and just saying, God, when will it ever end? Kind of like, where are you, God? Where are you in all this? You know. And then I can remember, and I still remember every day, I remember praying for my wife and a healing and still seeing her crippled. And wondering and questioning that why. And when I start questioning, it comes back that, yeah, God, I've seen you work miracles. You know, Donna reminded me a month or two ago about the fact that when we were in Africa 20 years ago, that we prayed for a gal who received her hearing that was deaf. I mean, we've seen that. And so that cry continues. And I think it's part of what we need to see is happening here, and we need to be encouraged by it. Okay, why do we need to be encouraged? Because I think that's what this psalm is about, actually. So we have here, and I'm going to skip this next couple slides because I'm not sure they serve. Okay. Have you got doubts about God? I mean, we don't willingly admit that we doubt God. All right, I do enough reading of non-Christian stuff to say sometimes, wow, God, you know, this doesn't make sense. Is this one kind of saying maybe it's not there? But I'm never allowed to do that because I immediately come back to a yet. God has spoken. God has moved in my life. God has spoken through his word. I have seen the truth of his word. But that doesn't negate the fact that I do have those doubts occasionally. How about questions about God? You know, what is he doing? You look at him today and you look at this world today and say, what is going on? You know, and it's easy to get discouraged. And if you just read verse 1, 2, 6, 7, 8, we'd walk away from here totally discouraged because all we would hear was the cry. And yet there's always a yet because we have experienced God. We have known him in other times, in other ways, and even in our current lives today. You know, I can sit and say, man, God, what are you doing in my family with my wife? Why is this? And yet I can look across the way and say, here's a young man who's being delivered from drugs. And God is answering a mighty prayer. And rejoice. And there's this cry and this yet. We know God is there. Sometimes you get angry at God. You know, again, these aren't things we admit to very freely. You know, because they kind of diminish our understanding. It's, as Andy mentioned early on, the word was humble. To admit these things takes humility. You know, I'm not as perfect as you think I am. Have we ever been angry at God? You know? Oh, sure. I'm sure many of us have. You know, I get questions. In 2008, I was in Brazil. I flew to Brazil on Friday night. On Saturday morning, I got a call from home saying my mom was dying. And on Sunday night, I was headed home. And Sunday afternoon, evening, I saw my mom and her statement, "What are you doing here?" You know, kind of thing. She knew where I was. And on Tuesday, she passed. You know, and it's like, God, what are you doing here? You know, I mean, why do we waste this much money to go to Brazil and you send us back here? This is ridiculous, you know? And unfortunately, 29 days later, my dad died. You know, and it's like, God, what are you doing? And in all of that, we have to remember yet, okay, that there is a God who is incredibly gracious, loving, and kind to us. And that's going to take us to the next section. Psalm 22 was written several centuries before man's cruelty had discovered crucifixion. They have said that crucifixion is the absolute worst way to die. I have no way of disproving or proving that. But what Christ went through, we know, was substantial and was extremely cruel. What we have seen so far, as David has talked, as David has gone through his cry and has come out yet. He's done it each time. And then in verse 22, it comes to praise. And he finishes up the psalm praising this God who he's been crying out to and charging with abandoning him because he remembers who God is. In this one, I think Jesus knew Psalm 22 very well. And I was going to read the scriptures. I'm going to give them to you. Matthew 27, 32 to 50 is where a good portion of Psalm 22 is quoted by Jesus, or quoted by the scriptures. I was going to read that passage, but for the sake of time, we're going to pass on reading it. You can look it up. If you're on the app, you're lucky it's already spelled out for you there. And we see, though, in Matthew's report on the death of Jesus, we see that Jesus was quite familiar with 22. And he starts and quotes it. And I don't have the actual... I do, actually. I try not to use paper usually, but we're stuck. There it is. I'm going to go through these quickly. Psalm 22:18, which says, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Matthew 27:35, "And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots." Psalm 22:7, "All who see me mock me, they make mouths at me, they wag their heads." Matthew 27:39, let's see. 39 says, "And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads." Psalm 22:8, "He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him, let him rescue him, for he delights in him." Matthew 27:43, "He trusts in God, let God deliver him." Now these are the people yelling at Jesus. This was not a good statement. Okay, this wasn't like, "He trusts God, let him, God will deliver him." It was like, "He trusts God, let God deliver him." Like nobody else is going to. "If he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God." And then Psalm 22:1, and where we start, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?" Matthew 27:46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What do we take from it? What's the purpose for all this? What I would like to see us take away with is this. One is don't. Now, that's a dumb thing to say, but it only fit in there, so I had to use don't. Okay? Don't beat yourself up because of your doubts or your anger or your questions about God. God knows what they are. Okay? And there's a tendency to do that. God knows. So don't beat yourself up over it. And then God understands your pain. He understands all that stuff. Okay, so don't beat yourself up. Second thing is, recall. That fits better than remember. It's too long. But remember what he has done for you. Don't forget. Speak them to yourself and remind others of what he has done. You know? How many of us take time to think about the day you were saved and what happened that day? And what changed in your life that day? Or the day you experiencing some powerful move of God? You know? And we get to the point where we just look back and say, yeah, it was a good life. It was more than that. There were changes that took place in our lives. I remember the day that God said the ministry I was involved in was to be a church. I can remember where I was. I remember my response wasn't necessarily very good. I remember what it meant. But those kind of things, we see God in the midst of it. Don't forget those things. They're important. And then it leads to praise. Not for you, and not for what you're doing, going through. It's not for the circumstances you're in. I don't praise God because Joanna's using a walker. I don't praise God because I've had a bunch of skin cancer removed. That's not what we're praising God for. I'm praising God because God is God. God has done marvelous things. God loves us. And we have a history with him. Be encouraged by Psalm 22. Read it and contemplate the fact that here is a man who we know was not perfect, David, who cried out to God in some pretty rough ways and yet remembered what God had done and finishes the psalm in praise and worshiping God. And that's what I want to take away. And Circle Group, you've got your questions for that. Andy, you're going to come up and introduce that part, the next thing. And Father, we thank you and praise you and just continue to pray for the rest of this service, the rest of our time together, that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.